Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Avodah Zarah Daf Ayin. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our homepage. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. As we turn our attention to the third line from the top of Daf Ayin, we notice a geometric form, a bow tie. Not only do we see in the text itself bow ties, but we'll notice to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, between the Gemara and the commentary, numbers also appearing in bow ties. The numbers run down the page and onto Omid Beis as well. We will be numbering off 12 situations, questions or situations, that are featured on the outside margin under our Nosei Mivneh heading. Nosei being the topic and Mivneh the structural note, you notice a bow tie form, and we've written in Sidra, a series, Shel Shtemisrei, Shel 12, Bayos, issues or questions, being in Kashrus Yayin, regarding the acceptability of kosher wine, Beglal Kirvas Goy Layayin, because of the proximity of a Gentile to the kosher wine. As we've discussed often in numerous sugyas in this Maseches, a Gentile, if he dabbles or pours wine to his idol, creates Yayin Nesach. There is a practice amongst Gentiles to serve their deities with the pouring of wine. And this, that itself, the pouring of wine to a deity, creates an Isur Doraisa, a Torah prohibition on the wine. And as a result of the stringency involved, almost all circumstances that a Gentile is in the proximity of kosher wine, a question arises. So as we go on in the Gemara, we'll notice a number of different cases, and we'll also notice, as you skim ahead, some double underlines. These serve to emphasize, and we've noted this also in our comment on the side, where you see a little double underline featured, Psikas Rava, Rava's legal rulings, Berov Hanal, and we've included most of the upcoming cases. Starting on the third line from the top, Hahu Beisa Dahave Yosef Bei Chamro Yisrael. There was a room or a house in which there was kosher wine. Chamro is wine of a Yisrael, Jewish wine. Earl means entered. Earl Oved Kochavim, a Gentile entered, achta ledosha be'ape, and closed the door behind him. Vehave biza bedosha, and there was a hole in the door, a peephole in the door. The Jew came along and looked through the peephole. Ishtakach oive kichovim dekoi benidoni, and he noticed the Gentile standing amongst the barrels of wine. Omar Rova. Rova rules. Kol de lahadi biza shori. Any barrel that's in eyeshot of that peephole is allowed. The high gisa, anything off to the sides is usur. Rashi points out that when Rova says the wine is mutter, it's mutter even for drinking purposes, not just mutter bahano for sale, but it's mutter for the Jew himself to drink it. It's totally kosher. However, the barrels that are off to the sides are also, Rashi adds, even Bahano. Let us take a look at the Rashi on the third line from the top. The high gisa, v'high gisa osur, af Bahano. Ukshein nitvas al knisoso kiganov askinon. We're talking about a circumstance that, for whatever reason, the Gentile, upon entering this house or this room, would not be viewed as a thief. being that that's the case, since his entrance would not be one viewed as thievery, he has a sense of comfort about him, and hence he would allow himself to dabble in the wine that's not not visible, would not be spotted through the peephole. Hahu chamra di Yisrael, the Gemara goes on, this is the second case, there was kosher wine, dehavi Yosef bebeisa, that was sitting in a house, that have a dayer Yisrael be'elyoinu ve'kechavim betachtoina, at the upper floor a Jew lived, and the lower floor, the ground floor, a Gentile lived. So you can imagine you enter a house, and in the house there's a staircase leading up to an upper floor. Shamu kol tigra nafki. There was some noise, some type of kol tigra, literally be sounded like there was a fight outside that was heard, and they went out. They left to see what's going out in the street. Kodim also ovi kichavim. The Gentile walked into the house after they satisfied their curiosity. So the Gentile entered the house first. After the dosha biapei, and he closed the door behind him. Omar Rovo Chamro Shori. The kosher wine in that house is okay, is allowed. Rashi points out that when you see the word shori, meaning allowed, means allowed even for drinking purposes. He won't touch it. And Rashi adds that when you see osir in this sugya, it's osir means even bahana. So Rava says the wine is allowed. Meimar Omar, the Gentile figures to himself, ki hechi dekodem asoi ano, just like I came in, kodem v'osir Yisrael, the Jew probably came in also. V'yosir be'elyono v'kachozi lin, he's sitting upstairs, he's sitting up there, and he sees what I'm doing down here. Hahu Ushpiza, there was an inn. De Havi Yosef Bechamra de Yisrael, there was kosher wine in this inn. Ishtakach Ovid Kechovim Davi Yosef Beidoni, and a Gentile was seen sitting amongst the barrels. Omar Rova, in Nitfasolov Kiganov, if the Gentile's presence amongst those barrels would be viewed as thievery, shori, then the wine is allowed. The feeling being that the goy would not want to be caught over there, and hence he wouldn't dabble in the wine. V'i lo, if it's an area of the inn that anyone is allowed to be in, usur, then the wine is going to be forbidden. Being that the Gentile feels a sense of comfort in that area, he most likely would have opened the barrels and stirred the wine. Hahu beisa dehavi Yosef bechamra. There was a house and there was wine stored there. Ishtakach ovid kechovim dehavi koyim beidoni, and a Gentile was seen standing amongst the barrels. Omar Rava, e isle lishtamute chamra osir. If he can offer an excuse for why he is there, he can offer a reasonable explanation why he entered. So also the wine is forbidden, because he has a sense of comfort that if anyone were to ask him what he's doing there, he has a good excuse. However, if he has no good excuse or good explanation as to why he's there, so he wouldn't have any sense of comfort entering there, and wouldn't have any, as we say, sense of comfort, and wouldn't spend any time dabbling in the wine. So vi lo chamra shori. If he has no liishtamuti, means explanation or excuses as to what he's doing there, the wine will be allowed. Meisve, we have a Tanaic source that is that poses a challenge to Rava. Ninal hapundak o shaomar lo shmor. If the pundak, the inn, is closed, and a Gentile was left amongst the wine, or a Jew told the Gentile, shmor, watch the wine, namely, stand outside and watch the wine, usur, the wine is forbidden. We're choshesh that since he told him, watch the wine, even though he indicated watch from the outside, nevertheless, he has a sense of security, of comfort. that since he told me, the Gentile figures, to watch the wine, it must be that the Jew is going to be going away. Now, the Gemara points out, my love, this case, is it not speaking of Agav, the less lay lishtamute, that even though the Gentile has no excuse as to what he was doing amongst the barrels, the wine is nevertheless ruled forbidden. Lo, that's not the case here. The reason the wine is ruled forbidden is b'de is lay lishtamute. The circumstances here is that the Gentile could offer an excuse as to why he went amongst the barrels. Hahu Yisrael vovi kichovim davu yasivi v'koshosu chamro. There was a Jew and Gentile sitting drinking wine. Shoma Yisrael called sluye beknishta. The Jew heard the sound of the summoning to daven in shul. They were calling out for a minion. Come to daven. Come to pray in the shul. Komvazal. The Jew got up and went to daven. Oma Rova chamro shori. Rava says that even though the Jew left his kosher wine unattended and in the presence of a Gentile, the wine is allowed. Meimar Omar, the goy, the Gentile figures, it's true he got up to go to daven, but hashto mitkar le lechamre v'hoder osi. Any second now he's going to remember his wine that he left here and he's going to come back. And being that the Gentile is fearful that the Jew might come back any minute, he's not going to want to dabble in the kosher wine. Hahu Yisrael v'ovi kichavim dahavu yasivi ba'arba. There was a Jew and a Gentile sitting in a boat. Shama Yisrael kol shipuri debei shimshi. The Jew heard the trumpeting sounds indicating that that it's Erev Shabbos, that Shabbos is arriving. Nofak v'ozal, and the Jew left the boat as to not spend Shabbos on the boat. He left the boat, and on the boat, of course, there was a kosher wine. Omar Rova Chamro Shori. The wine is nevertheless allowed, even though you have a circumstance here where the Jew is leaving the boat for Shabbos. One would think that the goy would have a sense of comfort that the Jew's going to be gone for a whole day. He'll have plenty of time to dabble in the wine. Nevertheless, Rava rules that the wine is allowed. Omar, the goy figures. Hashto mitkar le lechamre v'hodor osi. Oh, any minute now he's going to remember his wine and come back. V'i mishum shabato. And if one will say, well, but the Jew's not going to come back, how can the goy have this sense of fear that the Jew is going to come back? But isn't it Shabbos? And the Jew isn't going to come back on Shabbos, which involves certain Shabbos violations to get from shore onto the boat. Well, if that is what you think would give the Gentile a sense of security, Ha'omar li Isur Giura, Rava tells us that Isur Giura, this is a gentleman's, Isur is a name, and this is a person that was once a Gentile who converted to Judaism. So Isur Giura is able to share with Rava the mindset of Gentiles, being that he was himself once one. So Isur Giura told me, says Rava, ki havinon bar miyusan, when I was still a Gentile, amrinon, we, the Gentiles, figured yudoi lo mintari shabbata. Jews don't really observe Shabbos. Dei mintari shabbata, if Jews really observed Shabbos, kamo kisi komishtikhi v'shuka, how many wallets one would find in the public place? Namely, oftentimes Shabbos is rapidly approaching, and people find themselves distant from their homes. What would, if they were really Shabbos observers, what would they do with their wallets? They would, of course, they would, on Shabbos being that there's a prohibition of transporting items in public thoroughfares more than Dalet Amos, carrying things in public areas. How is it, figures the Gentile, how is it that there aren't lots of wallets on late Friday afternoons in the marketplace? If they really observe Shabbos, they would probably toss out their wallets out of their pockets so as not to be in violation of carrying things for Amos in Rosh Hashanah. So Isur Giura reports that we as Gentiles figured Jews don't really observe Shabbos. So that's the Gentile mindset. As a result of that, even though the Jew may have left the boat in anticipation of Shabbos, once he remembers that he left his wine here unattended, he's certainly going to come back, even though that may entail some Shabbos violations. However, what about the wallets? Really, Jews do observe Shabbos. As far as the wallets are concerned, the truth is not like the Gentile mindset. As far as the kashrus of the wine is concerned, it is important to reckon with the Gentile mindset. The Jews don't really observe Shabbos. However, we know the Jews do observe Shabbos, so why is it that marketplaces, that public areas are not filled with wallets? The inhu, lo yadu, the Gentiles don't know that there is we'll call it a legal loophole. The Sevira Lon Rabbi Yitzchak, we hold like the teaching of Rabbi Yitzchak, the Omer Rabbi Yitzchak, Hamotze Kis B'Shabbos, one who finds a wallet on Shabbos, Molicho Pochos Pochos Midalet Amos, one is allowed to move it in the public thoroughfare, provided he moves it less than a distance of 4 Amos at each stride. In other words, one who finds a wallet in a public thoroughfare and he wants to move it away from there, he can move it off to some hidden place, some side spot, provided he moves it by moving each time he moves a distance of less than 4 amos. So he would walk, let us say, for argument's sake, 2 meters, and then stop, and then continue walking another distance slightly less than 2 meters, each time slightly less than 4 amos, stopping and continuing. And that way he avoids the outright transgression of Dalet Amos Birshus Rabim, and at the same time is able to preserve the wallet from being in a public area. Hahu Arya Dehave Nohim V'matzarta. There was a lion once growling in an area of a wine press. Shama oivikichovim, tosha beinidoni, and a Gentile heard and was fear struck by the lion's growling and hid himself amongst the barrels of wine, of kosher wine. Omar Rabo chamro shori, the wine remains kosher. Meimar Omar, the goy figures, the Gentile figures, ki hechi de tashino ano, just like I am hiding over here, itsho nami Yisrael achorai, a Jew is hiding behind me, v'ka chozi li, and he'll see me if I'm dabbling in the wine. Therefore, there's a built-in deterrent for the goy from dabbling in the wine. Hano ganvi de salki lepobadisa upaschu. Chavita Tuva was an incident that thieves entered the town of Pumbedisa and opened numerous barrels of wine. Omar Rava Chamra Shori. Rava rules that even though these thieves opened barrels of wine, the wine is kosher. It remains allowed. My Taima. Why is the wine allowed? So the Gemara answers, Ruba Ganvi Yisrael Ninu. Most of the thieves in that area were actually Jewish. Havi Uvdo ben Nahardoi, the Omar Shmuel, Chamra Shori. There was an incident in Nahardo, and Shmuel ruled that the wine is allowed. Keman, based on whom is this ruling? The way we are going to learn this Gemara is an approach that suggests a long question. Starting from here, going to the second line from the bottom, the Gemara will be asking, is this ruling to be understood like Rabbi Eliezer? In other words, Rabbi Eliezer would be a Shitas Yochid, and we would a singular opinion, a minor opinion, this would raise a question to us when we know that there is a Shitas Chachomim, the opinion, possibly a majority opinion, that disagrees. So we are asking a question from a standpoint of discomfort, namely, are we to understand Shmuel's ruling that the wine is allowed based on the teaching of Rabbi Eliezer, meaning Rabbi Eliezer and not the Chachomim, that said, the Omar Sofek Bia Tohor, Bisnan. What we just read will be understood by learning the source that accompanies this. the issue of Sofek Bia has to do with a Sofek about entrance. What are the details behind this? Let's go on in the Gemara and learn the circumstances that lead up to this thought. Hanichnas lebika b'moisak shomim v'tuma b'soda plonis. One who enters a bika, this is a region, sometimes translated as a valley, in which there are numerous fields, and he's entering this area during the rainy season. This is a season during which fields have been planted. There are seeds in the ground. Being that that's the case, trampling through fields is actually injurious to them, and hence they take on a status, even though it's a large open area, it takes on the status of what's known as a Rishus HaYochid. Rishus HaYochid meaning a private type domain. In general, when you have issues of Tumah and Tara, ritual impurity, let's talk about Tumas Mace, where there's a doubt whether there might be a corpse in a particular area, one isn't sure where it's located. We say like this: we say Sofek Tuma b'Rishus HaRabim, an issue of doubt concerning contact with this ritual impurity. It's not necessarily limited to issues of the dead, because Tumas Meis, because Sofek Tuma B'Rishus Rabim is a much broader area. Also, in this particular case, we'll be dealing with Tumas Meis. When the matter of doubt concerns contact with Tuma in a private domain, so we rule stringently that Sofek Tuma B'Rishus Hayochid Tome. However, if you were dealing with a Rishus Rabim, which we will not be dealing with right now, we then say Sofek Tuma B'Rishus HaRabim Tohor, where there's a matter of doubt concerning contact with Tumah in a public area, the original status of Tara is maintained. So here we have a case of someone entering an area, a Bika, during the rainy season. The Tumah B'Sada Plonis. In one of the fields, there is a body. There is an issue of Tumas Mace. At this point, though, we don't know for sure where its exact location is. The Omar, and the person entering says, Holachti b'mokom halos, I was in that bika, v'eini yodea im nechnasti lo'oysa soda im lo'y nechnasti. And I don't know whether I entered the field in which the body was located or not. Rabbi Elezer Omer, Sofek bia tohor, Sofek mago tome. Rabbi Elezer says that if the person has a doubt whether he entered the field in which the body was located, then we can rule that the person is tohar. However, if the person knows that he entered the field in which the body was located, we can assume from this Gemara that, as far as this story is concerned, it was clear in which field the body was located. It's just, it was not clear where in that particular field it had been positioned. Therefore, if he is in doubt whether he was in that particular field at all, we can say that the man is tohar. However, Sofek Mago, if he knows he entered the field in which the body was located, but he just doesn't know if he had contact with the body, then we rule that he is Tomei. So at this point, we are assuming that the case of the thieves entering Nahardo and the wine being allowed is based on Rabbi Eliezer's opinion that says that if there's a matter of doubt whether he at all entered the field, that's called Sofek Bia, that we call him Tor, and we will try to draw a parallel between that case and the case of the thieves entering Nahardo. How are we going to do this? How are we going to accomplish this parallel? The best way would be by looking at the Rashi. There's a Rashi, a few lines about more than halfway down the Rashi column, Sofek Bia, Delo Yadinon, Oive Kechavim, E Ol, E Lo Ol. If we don't know whether a Gentile entered at all or not, Tohar, then the wine would be acceptable. And because we don't know whether a Gentile at all appeared on this in the case, that's why we're allowing it. Dishoni lon sofek bio mi bio vadai v'sofek mago, because we make a distinction between the issue of whether there was a doubt concerning entrance at all versus a case of there was certain entrance to the field in the case of the Tumantara, and a doubt merely concerning the touching. So in the case of the wine, we are suggesting that we don't know whether a Gentile entered Nahar Da'a at all. That would be parallel to the case of the person being in doubt whether he entered the problematic field at all. The Gemara goes on and says, no. The case of the thieves entering Pumbedisa and Nahar Da'a is different than the case of the Tumas and Taras and the entrance to the field. Shiny Hossam, the case of Pumbedisa is different. Kevon de'ika de'paschi l'shum amona, since thieves open barrels for the purpose of seeking money, they open for mamona, for money. They're thieves, they're interested in cash. Have lay sfake sfeka, the case involves a double suffake. And in a case of a double suffake, everyone will agree, even the Rabbonan will agree, that you can be lenient. This is suggesting, even the Rabbonan, that in the case of the Nichnas Labika, rule Tomei, even in a case that he's in doubt whether he entered that specific field in which the body was located, nevertheless, in the case of the wine, since there's a double doubt, the wine is ruled to be mutter. How does this double doubt operate? So let's take a look at the Rashi. Several lines from the end of the Rashi column, have a sfeik sfeika, sofek Yisrael, sofek Oved Kechovim. There's a doubt as to the identity of the thieves in the first place. The im tinsilomar ove kuchovim, and even if you say that the thieves were Gentiles, sofek noga, sofek lo noga. There's a doubt as to whether he dabbled in the wine at all or not. Ubaha afilu rabbonon modu. And where you have a double sofek, like we just described, like we just set it up, even the Rabbonan, who are stringent with regard to the fields and the Tuma case, the Nichnas Labika case, they will be lenient here. The Chipligi Rabbonan Alei de Rebbe Lozer, where do the Chachomim have their controversy with Rebbe Lozer? It's a different circumstance. Hechi de Malya Sode Tuma. That's a case where in the Bika, we had, as we mentioned earlier, a number of fields. In one of the fields, there was a field that was filled with bodies, filled with pieces of mesim. Mesim, tumas mes, that filled one of the fields. As a result of that, de'ol law, if he entered that particular field, lo efshu de lo eyo, de lek elo chad sofek. In that case, with the case of the Bika, there was only one suffix. And what was that? The man entered the Bika and he doesn't know which field he entered. Had he entered the problematic field, he definitely would have encountered Tuma. This may be contrasted with a case of one of the field that had the Tuma in it that wasn't filled with Tuma. Then you would have a double, you would have possibly had a double suffix in that case as well, which would have stated a person entered a bika and he doesn't know if he entered the problematic field. And even if he entered the problematic field, being that the tumah was restricted to one spot, he could say there still remains a suffix whether he encountered that singular spot where the tumah was. However, as we're setting up things now, the case of Nichnas Labika, where the Chachomim were stringent, was a case where the field that had the Tuma in it was completely filled with the Tuma. Therefore, that case had only a singular Sofek, not a Sfek Sfeka. We continue with cases. Case number 10. Hahi revisa dishtakach dehavis beidoni. There was a Gentile girl, found amongst barrels of kosher wine. Vehavis nikita ufyo bioda, and she had some froth in her hands. Froth is a foam-like substance that develops while wine is fermenting. So this creates a little bit of suspicion. Where did she get the froth from? Omar Rava, Chamro Shari. Rava says the wine in the barrels is okay, is kosher, remains all right. Amar, we can figure Migabo de Chavisa Shaklise, that she took the froth from the outside of a barrel. The Afagav de Leko Su, even though we, when we come along and see no more froth on the outside of the barrel. Amar, we figure Isramuye Isrami Law. She chanced upon the last froth on the outside of the barrel. And she, that's what she has in her possession. Rashi adds an important note on the upper part of the page. Rashi at the top, he says, Amar migabo de chavito shaklasa vidafka revisa. This allowance is true only in the case of a very young girl. The Einu Yodas Betiv Nisuch. She isn't aware of the nature of this form of idolatry, of worshipping idols with wine pouring. Velo Mosra Nafsha Laminga. She won't risk her well-being for the purpose of touching the wine. Avo Gedoyla, when you're dealing with an adult, Gentile, Mechi Chazino de Nikita Ufya, once we see already something suspicious, namely the froth in an adult Gentile's hands, Lo Talino Lekula, we would not be so lenient in our ruling. Continuing, Hahu Fulmusa de Solik Lenahar de'a. There was a Gentile army officer, that entered Nahar de'a. Paschu Chavita Tuva. Many barrels were opened. Ki also Ravdimi Omar. When Ravdimi came, he said, Uvda have kamei de Rabbi Elazar v'shara. An incident like this happened with Rabbi Elazar, and he allowed the wine. V'lo yodana imishum de sovarlo kerebi Eliezer the Omar sofek bia tahar. And I don't know if his ruling of leniency was based on Rabbi Eliezer, that said that once you have a suffake, like the case of suffake bia, which we described earlier, if the leniency is based on Rabbi Eliezer's ruling, and that would end up being a shitas yochid, e mishum desava ruba di azli bahadi pumusa yisrael ninu, or that the leniency in the case of the pumusa that entered the harda, the lenient, or let us say that Rabbi Eliezer's ruling concerning the entrance of the Pumusa was based on the idea that the majority of those that accompany this officer are Jews. And in the case that the majority are Jews, then we have a rov, and there's no suffix, then there's no issue of suffix. Ihachi, hi, suffix biyah. The Gemara here is questioning the first of these two possibilities, that maybe the ruling here is based on Rebbe Elazar that said that it's an issue of Safek Bia, where we don't know if there was a Gentile there at all. But if the case is as we explained it till now, it's not a case of Safek Bia, a doubt whether a Gentile entered at all. Rather, Safek Magahu. Since we know there were Gentiles over here, it's a case of Safek Maga. Namely, did the Gentile touch the wine or not? So why does Ravdini classify this as a case of Safek Bia, which would be a lesser degree of severity? In other words, grounds for being more lenient. This isn't a case of Safek Bia. This is a case of Safek Maga. The Gemara answers, Kevon de miftachi tuva, since many barrels were open, many more than one would drink from, Emo adaito de mamona pashu. They were opening it for money. They were looking for money. Ukisafek biodomi. And it's treated with the same level of severity, meaning we have the ability to be very lenient here, as if it were a case of safek bia, namely a doubt whether a Gentile entered at all. True, we may know that Gentiles entered, but the circumstances here are pointing very strongly in the direction that they were not here for drinking purposes whatsoever. And therefore, we can treat it like a case of safek bia. Nevertheless, the doubt remains as to the Rebbe Lozer, who ruled that the wine was allowed. Was it because of the possibility that there was there's an issue of suffix that we can be lenient about because of the fact that so many barrels were opened, or is it because rove of the people present in this incident were Jews, and there would be no suffix whatsoever? You would have a rove to base your, a majority to base yourself on. Case number 12. Ahi Masuvisa, this is a person who sells wine. Demosra lo iklida lo ivedes kechavim. She gave the keys to the wine to a Gentile. Omar Reb Yitzchok ben Elozar. Ki also Ravdimi uvda have bei midrasha. The Umru lo mosro lo elo shmiras mafteach bilvad. An incident like this was ruled as holding that she, the seller of the wine, the seller of the kosher wine, gave the Gentile woman the guarding of the key alone. Namely, she was asked to hold the key and to make sure the key doesn't get lost, but she was not asked to keep her eye on the wine, so to speak, to go in and check out the wine barrels. Therefore, we could rule leniently. She, the Gentile woman asked to watch the key, would not go in to where the barrels were with a feeling of comfort. And if she would enter, she would be called, as Rashi says, Nitfisa Kiganov. She would be viewed as a thief. Hence, she does not have a sense of security about her or a sense of comfort that would have motivated her to go in and dabble in the wine. Omar Abaye, Afanan Nami Tanina. We have a Tanaic source that supports this approach. Hamoser Maftechos Lama Oretz, one who gives keys to an Amoretz. So an Amoretz is an individual who is viewed as ignorant, one who does not concern himself with issues of tahara, of purity, of maintaining food items in their state of purity. So one gave keys to an amoretz, keys that would lead into a room filled with taharos. The source rules taharos of taharos. Even though an amoretz was holding the keys, the food in that storage area remains tohar. Lefishalo mosar loy eloshmiras maftechos bilvad. Notice we've dashed underlined the key expression. In giving the keys to this amoretz, he was given the keys to watch the key, to make sure the key does not get lost. Hashto taros of taharos. Here we see that we allow for leniency with regard to the taharos. Yayin Nesach Mibaya, do I need to tell you about Yayin Nesach? Namely, the case of the Yayin Nesach would certainly remain kosher. At this point in the Gemara, we have a bracketed section. In fact, if you skim ahead in this particular Gemara, you'll notice that there's a double bracketed, a brackets within a brackets. The explanation of the structure of this Gemara is provided in the margin, you'll notice a starred section. Ad l'sograyim, until this point in the Gemara, siyamnu hadin shoshmiras mafteach v'asiyu alo. We've completed the point concerning the watching of the key and all that was needed to support that particular ruling, that of leniency. Achar kach haGemara ma'ale she'ela. From this point within the brackets, the Gemara raises a question, l'meimra, etc. V'noisenes tshuva, and the Gemara then will provide an answer, derak derech shitas rav, will provide an answer based on Rav's opinion. This is, of course, not to be understood right now. This will be seen later on. Then, later in the Gemara, a few lines after we begin the bracketed section, another bracket appears. B'sograyim haboim, the next brackets, ha-Gemara mevia dea noisefes be'inyan taras taharois, umak shekushos al shnehem. And within that section, there will be questions going on both opinions that will be demonstrated, or will be presented. So, once again, at this point in the Gemara, we have essentially completed the all 12 cases, and understand the different rulings. We saw a lot of lenient rulings, and the last case involved proving the Shmiras Mafteach of the Yayin Nesech case from a case of Shmiras Mafteach, of watching a key, in the case of Taharos. The Gemara had concluded that if you see that the Taharos remain Tahor, then certainly in the case of Yayin Nesech, we can view it as remaining kosher. It seems from that kind of proof that the way we view Taharos is one of greater strictness, of seriousness, than the way we view Yayin Nesech. On this, the Gemara asks, L'meimra de Taharos alimi mi Yayin Nesech? Are we suggesting, are you suggesting that Taharos is stronger, is a more serious case than the case of Yayin Nesech, that enabled us to say that if we show you a lenient ruling in the case of a strict topic, then namely Taharos, then we can certainly offer a lenient ruling in a lighter topic, namely Yayin Nesech. Is that really so? The Gemara says, in. Yes, and we will try to show that right now. The Itmar, Chotzer Shecholke B'Mesipas, a courtyard that was divided with a Mesipas, which is a very low type of fence. On one side of this courtyard is an Amoretz. An Amoretz is a person who is not concerned with Tumas and Taharos. And on the other side of this low fence is a Chover. A Chover is a person who is who's preoccupied, who concerns himself with his produce remaining tohar. Omar Rav, Taharoisov Temeos. Rav, in describing a chotzer that's divided with a mesipas, he addresses two possible scenarios. In the case of the taharos of a chover on one side of the fence, his taharos will be viewed as tomei. In other words, we suspect the amoretz of crossing this low fence and rendering impure his taharos. However, uba'ove kechovim, if it's an issue of Jew and Gentile on either side of the mesipas, eino oise yayin nesech. The wine will remain kosher. Rashi says, eino oise yayin nesech, denitvas alof kiganov, because if the Gentile would cross the low fence, he would be viewed as a thief. Almo taharos salimi. From this ruling of Rav, we see that we treat taharos with greater strictness than we treat yayin nesech. Again, we see that Rav is strict with regard to the taharos and offers a lenient ruling with regard to the yayin nesech. So, at this point, when you look at the last point mentioned just before the brackets, where we were able to prove from the case of Shmiras Mafteach by Taharos and their remaining Tohar, remaining acceptable, then certainly in the case of Yayin Nesech. This idea of viewing Taharos with a greater stringency than Yayin Nesech is based on Shitas Rav. And that's what we've accomplished up till this point in the Gemara. the continuation of the Gemara is really a continual flow. However, the reason for our separating it, this in the way we did with the markings was to show that the proof to the idea that Taros or Alimi Miayin Nesech was from Shitas Rav. The Gemara now goes on within this case of the Chaser, the courtyard divided with the Mesipas, Reb Yochanan Omar, Af Taros of Taharos. Reb Yochanan is more lenient than Rav and says that even the Taharos will of the Chover, of the trustworthy person, will remain Tahar and not be under suspicion that the Amoretz ruined them. Meisvei, we present a question. Notice that the triangle appears with the point facing up. If you skip to the end of after this particular source, you see a dashed underlined Kashi L'Rav. So we know that this is the with the triangle facing up will be have a Kasha on Rav. Afterwards, a few lines later, you'll see an inverted triangle, and right after that source, you'll see Kashi L'Rav Yochanan. So that with the triangle pointing down, this will be a problem for Rav Yochanan. Further down the page, again, you'll see a triangle pointing up. And right after that source, you'll see once again Kashi L'Rav. So with our marking system, we're able to see it at a glance the direction the questions are taking, namely on whom each question is. So let us now proceed with the question that we now know will be a Kasha on Rav. We have a scenario of an inner area and an outer area, an inner location and an outer location, and it says ha-panimis shel chover v'chitzonus shel am oretz. If you have the inner area owned by a chover, a trustworthy person with regard to tumas and taras, and the outer area owned by an am oretz, also chover, the trustworthy person, the person who's concerned with the maintenance of tara, shoteach shom peros u'minich shom kelim, he can spread out his fruits for fruits that they should sit out and dry in the sun, and he can place his vessels there. And even though the Amoritz's hand can reach there, in other words, the Amoritz can sit in his, can be in his domain, in his outer area, and reach in. He has the physical ability of reaching into the inner area. Nevertheless, the source rules that the Taharos remain Tahar. That would support Reb Yochanan, and be a Kasha and says, Kashi L'Rav. This is a problem for Rav, who ruled stringently. Omar Loch Rav. Rav answers, Shiny Chosam. That case is different than the case of Chotzer, that was the Chotzer, the courtyard divided with the low fence, because Shenitvas Olof Kiganov. Since we're dealing with the Amoretz in the outer area, we would, if we see him reaching into the inner area, we'd ask him, hey, what are you reaching in there for? He would be caught as a thief. So there's a built-in deterrent for his trying to reach into the inner area. That is different than a singular courtyard that was divided into two parts. There, if he were to reach over the low fence, he wouldn't be viewed as a thief. And therefore, Rav ruled with a stringent ruling regarding the Chotzer Shechoka B'Mesipas, the low fence. Ta Shema, we bring another source, and you'll notice, the as we mentioned earlier, that there's an inverted triangle. This will be a Kashan Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Gagoy Shel Chover Lamalo Migagoy Shel Amoretz. You have a structure on which you have a roof that has, let's say, we'll say a double-level roof. One roof is higher than the other. The gag of the chover is higher, the chover is the trustworthy person with regard to taros. His rooftop is higher than the adjacent roof over the home of the Amoretz. So we have two apartments that are next to each other, or two houses that are next to each other. However, the rooftop of the chover is higher than the rooftop of the Amoretz. Oisei chover, shoteach Shom Peros Uminyach Shom Kalim. The chaver is able to spread out his fruit and leave his vessels there and assume that they are tor. However, Ubilvad Shaloi Tehe Yodai Shal Amoritz Magas L'Sham. That's provided that the Amoritz's hand cannot reach the roof. In other words, the height discrepancy is so great that the Amoritz would not be able to reach up and have contact with the rooftop of the chaver. Of course, if he would be able to, then we would not allow, we would not rule that the taros are tor. What do we see from this case? We see that if there is a hand reach of the amoretz to the domain of the chover, things are to remain tome. Things will be ruled as tome. Kashya le Rabbi Yochanan, because we saw that this is a difficulty for Rabbi Yochanan, because we saw in the case of the Chotzer Shnis Chakum and Mesibas where there was a, he did have the hand reach ability, the Amoritz had hand reach ability to the side of the Chaver. Rabbi Yochanan ruled that it remains Tahar. Here we see that if there's hand reach ability, it is ruled Tomei. Omar Loch Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan responds, Shaini Hosam. The case of the rooftops is different. The Islay Lishtamute, the Amoretz, in reaching over to the roof of the Chover, has an excuse. Meymar Omar, he could say, he could explain why his hand is reaching over to the Chover's domain. Imtsuri Komamtsura, I am taking measurements. Apparently the Amoretz, who's on the lower level, could say, I want to build up my rooftop, a wall around my low rooftop, so that it'll reach the same height as your rooftop. So I'm taking measurements, and that's why my hand is reaching up to your rooftop. And since he has an excuse he can offer, an easy excuse, he thereby will feel a sense of comfort in touching things on the side of the chover. And and that's why in the source rules that if Yodo Magas, the Toharos are Tomei. That is different, though, in the case of the Chotzer that was divided with the low roof. In that case, the low fence, that is. In that case, there isn't any easy excuse for him to offer why he's reaching over to the side of the Chover, and hence he has a deterrent. Toshma. We have another source, and we see the triangle with the point facing up. Once again, we know that this will be a kasha on Rav. Gagoi shel chover bitzad gagoi shel amoretz. Here we have rooftops on the same level. There's no excuse here that we just mentioned before of reaching over from one side to the other. And we say, Oso chover shoteach shom peros uminiach shom kelim. Here the chover is able to spread out his fruits and place his vessels on his side, on his roof, and not worry about them becoming affected by the Amoretz. And here the Amoretz is able, has hand reach to that side, and there is no excuse. And so we have here a case very similar to the Chotzer Shinis Hakam and Mesipas. Same level, everything's on the same level. There is hand reach. There is no excuse that the Amoretz can offer. And yet, the Peros are ruled to be Tor. The Peros of the Chover remain with their Tohor status. This is a Kashya the Rav. Omalach Rav. Rav answers, Lav Iko Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel Dekoi Kavosi. Is there not Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel who holds like me? Well, if you have any doubt as to where Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel was, we have an arrow for your convenience to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text. We saw the source above, which is raised as a kasha on Rabbi Yochanan. In that source, we saw, of course, Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel appeared, and his name was dashed, underlined, also for emphasis purposes, to make it easier to find things. We saw him offer a ruling of leniency, provided that the Amoretz had no hand reach. However, according to Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel, when you look at the source at face value, if the Amoret does have a hand reach to the side of the, or in that case to the rooftop of the Chover, in our case to the Chosser side of the Chover, Rav Shimon Leo rules Osir, rules a prohibition, or that the Taharos are Tomei, just like Rav. So Rav is telling us, you see, in that case, Rav Shimon Leo, and his opinion conforms to me, Dekoi Kavos, he holds like me, Ano Diamri, Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel. I hold like Rav Shimon Ben Gamliel. The Mishnah. Boileshes Shenichnasa Le'ir. An armed force that entered a town. Bishas Shalom, Chovios Psuchos Asuros, Stumos Mutoros. If it's a time of peace, where people are relaxed, and you have this military force that entered a town under, let's say, non-wartime circumstances, open barrels are forbidden, and sealed barrels remain kosher. Bishas Milchama, if the Boleshes, this armed force, is entering a town under wartime circumstances, Elu v'elu mutoros, the closed barrels as well as the open barrels. Even the open barrels of kosher wine remain kosher. Lefishein p'nai l'nasik. There's no time. There's war going on. There's no time to practice the nisuch, the pouring of the wine, to the idols, to the avodah zarah. The Gemara at the top of Ayin Aleph Omid Aleph raises a contradiction, a seeming contradiction. Viraminu. We have a Tanaic source that describes a circumstances of wartime. Ir shekavshua karkoim, a city that was captured by an armed force. Kol klehanos shebesocha psulos, all women that are in the all women that are married to klehanim are deemed as forbidden to their husbands. There is a rule that an Ashes Kohen, the wife of a Kohen that is victim of rape, even of rape, we'll say, she becomes forbidden to her husband. This is in contrast to the wife of a Yisrael, that if she's raped, she is not usur, she's not forbidden to her husband. This source says that we have, what do we see here? We see wartime circumstances, and we see even though it's wartime circumstances, still the force has time to render things unfit. Let's take a look at the Rashi at the top. Kol kehanos hanimtzos b'socha psulos ubalei, and all the kehanos that are in that city are also forbidden to their husbands. The eshes kohen asura af ba'ines, the wife of a kohen is forbidden to her husband even if she happens to be raped. Certainly, if she's a willing participant, in that case, then all married women are also to their husbands. But even in the case of rape, if you're dealing with an eshes kohen, she's forbidden to her husband. Avaleshes Yisrael lo. Now, what do we see? Ahahacha, the shas milchama here, we have a description of a wartime circumstance. The katoni asuros, the women are rendered unfit. The yesh panai livol, there's time, they have time for doing things. So why don't we say the same thing with regard to the barrels of yayin nesech? Why do at least the open barrels should have been ruled to be forbidden, and yet the Mishnah says that the shas milchama, even the open barrels are mutter, because they have no time. The Gemara answers, Omar of Mori, Lenasich ein Pnai, Livoil Yesh Pnai. For the act of pouring wine for an idol, that they don't have time for. The Yetzer, the inclination for or desire for serving idols with Nisuch is not as strong as the Yetzer for immorality. And therefore, even though they really have limited time because they are involved with war, nevertheless, when the inclination is so strong, they'll find time for that, namely for the intimacy. But since the inclination for Nesach is not so strong, they don't have time for that. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.